Well, here with us this morning to talk about our local smoking cessation programs for Upstate Medical University are Cindy Carey, the Director of HealthLink and the Smoking Cessation Program for Upstate Medical University, and Teresa Hankin, a respiratory therapist and a smoking cessation counselor at Upstate's community campus. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
So, Cindy, I know you've been offering free classes to the community, and I know that, Teresa, you work with our employees at Upstate Medical University to help them stop smoking. But I don't think people really understand what would they experience in one of these classes. Tell us about the classes.
That's a good question. So when we do classes for the community, what we do is kind of the same class that we offer to our employees when we were going through the whole smoke-free process. And we do a six-week program, and we do seven classes in that 6 weeks. So things that people might expect would be The first class is pretty much, and I always tell people it's kind of the most boring class, but it's really about the medications, because what I find is a lot of people really don't understand how to use the medications correctly. They aren't even aware of what's available. We have seven FDA-approved cessation products. People think, oh, I'm going to quit. I have the options of the patch and the gum. And that is true, but in addition to that, over-the-counter products not only include the patch and the gum, but also the lozenge for people that can't chew gum. There's a mini lozenge that's also available now that's about the size of a Tic Tac, which people find much more palatable than the older lozenge. So if that was an issue before, maybe now this is a better option for them. We have the nicotine nasal spray and the Nicotrol inhaler, which for folks who can't get away from the hand-mouth movement because that behavioral piece is so strong for them, that's a beautiful option for them. And then we have in pill form Wellbutrin, which has been shown to help some people quit. The nice thing about Wellbutrin is it can be added to any of the nicotine replacement products. And then we have Chantix, which is kind of in a category by itself, one of the newer medications. And although it's had some bad press in the recent past, I have many people who have done very well on that medication and continue to do well.
So the first session, Teresa, the first session is just talking about what are these various aids that will help you move forward through this process of quitting. Is that correct?
Yes, and we also talk about the behavioral piece, what your triggers are, why you smoke. We give them exercises that they can go through, surveys, questionnaires, different things to help them begin the process of knowing what their triggers are when they smoke. And then, of course, how to use the medications correctly, how to combine them if needed with a long-acting nicotine replacement as well as short-acting, which research has shown, again, along with the support, that you're more likely to stay quit smoking if you combine therapies.
That's really interesting to me and great. I mean, I don't think the many people out there, as you said, they may think there are one or two options, but to think that there are seven different options that can be used in a variety of combinations really must give people a sense of security that they would ordinarily not have, because it's got to be like jumping off a cliff in some ways.
And for those that have tried in the past and fail, they think that it just must be just way too much for them. They're weak. They can't do it. They have no willpower. And when they come in and get the information about one of the things I always hope that people leave with, even if they only come to the first class, is typically speaking, if we all smoke like machines, about 1 milligram of nicotine is delivered per cigarette. So if you're someone who smokes two packs a day, one patch is never going to work for you. So I like to talk to people about what they've used in the past and perhaps how they've used it. And when I find that there was not success involved in that, and you can talk to them about, did you ever try this? Did you ever try that? Can you maybe put these two things together? That might be, you know, your ticket for success.
Wow.
And when people understand, I think the nicest thing about coming and getting the information is you can see the hope in people's eyes, that they are leaving there hope-filled that, yes, you know what, maybe I can do this. She's opened up doors. She's helped me understand that there's other ways to do this, and I don't feel like this is just an unobtainable goal.
That's incredible. So take us a little further into the process. So first, you obviously lay out the hope, in a sense, and the facts surrounding that, and having them take a look at their own behaviors so they can begin that process of self-analysis, because you can't really battle this unless you know what you're doing.
Right.
Right, and what those triggers are. What's the next step?
Well, one of the things I always talk about is that people come into a group knowing this is bad for them. What they don't often know, and they are aware of, you know, lung cancer chances and cardiovascular, well, not so much the cardiovascular risk, but emphysema asthma, those kinds of components, the lung components, but they aren't so much aware of the cardiovascular risk. So the second class, we talk about carbon monoxide exposure, because when they're smoking, they are constantly exposing themselves to carbon monoxide. And people do know that it's harmful, it can be deadly in high enough concentrations, those kinds of things, but they don't realize that they're actually exposing themselves on a regular basis. So we can actually measure carbon monoxide levels. And then we measure those the second week and work on explaining that as awful as this sounds, because you're making your heart work harder with less oxygen through smaller vessels because nicotine is a vasoconstrictor, we can talk to them about, again, the hope that in 2 days, just 2 days of quitting, we can reverse that.
And do you also show them that?
Is
that
yes, part that's of a it? Huge yes. motivator.
Tell us about that, mm-hmm. Teresa.
I recently had a client that went from a very high number with her carbon monoxide screening, and when she saw how much it had reduced and how she had fallen to almost normal, you could feel it in the room. She was so excited.
So what's
she was
involved
beyond
in,
excited.
What's involved in getting that information?
Do they just breathe into it? It's very simple, yeah.
It's a breath test?
Yes, it's a very simple.
They hold their breath for 10 seconds and then blow it out, and we can measure what their exhaled parts per million level is.
So that's a huge motivator.
Huge.
Okay. And as far as the support, I mean, what as the classes go on, it's 7 classes, as you said,
right.
over the course of 6 weeks. What's the nature of the work that gets done as you go through the 7 classes?
Well, we plan and prepare the first 2 weeks. The third week is actually the quit day. So when people come in and they find out, woohoo, I can smoke for 2 more weeks, that's usually a nice icebreaker. But then we plan for that quit day. And the nice thing is, say they quit on a Monday, this group will reconvene on a Wednesday, maybe 2 days later, for some extra support. What's working, what's not working. But it's also on that second class, after, you know, the day after the quit day, that we can recheck their carbon monoxide levels as a non-smoker. If they've truly quit, you can see those levels drop to that of a non-smoker. And so the day that they may not be feeling their best, you can see...
And questioning their decision
right,
to quit.
Right, right. You can see a real positive outcome, a real physiologic, measurable outcome that can impact their overall health.
And that must be a real big motivator.
Huge motivator.
Yeah.
In fact, of all the things that we offer, it's probably the best thing as far as people comment on that as being one of the most helpful.
Now, I don't want to run out of time, so just take us a little bit through. So let's say they've quit,
they've gone. The next part we talk about is a psychological piece. Then the following class, we do some diet and exercise work, talk about how smoking impacts weight gain and not in some cases. And then the 7th class is kind of a review, relapse prevention techniques that we've talked about, and a celebration of the success of the class.
Now, is it the kind of things people can take more than once? I understand, first of all, it's free, which blows my mind to begin with, that
right.
these classes are free.
That's thankful to the advocates at Upstate. They sponsor this so we can offer it free.
And it's also free for our employees as well through the respiratory care department.
That's incredible.
At both our campuses.
So I don't want to run out of time. So basically, can people take it more than once
yes,
if they need to
yes,
continue
yes.
to have the support?
One of the goals, I mean, this is a chronic relapsing condition. They're welcome to come back, and we hope that they'll remember that when they leave. If they need extra help, come on back. We'll help you again.
So you have a class starting up?
I have a class that starts on November 12th for people thinking about quitting for the Great American Smokeout. It's going to be 12 to 1, and it will also be offered again 5:30 to 6:30 at our main HealthLink site just off Carrier Circle.
And if that one, you can't make that one, will there be one a few weeks later?
The next group of 7 sessions will probably start after the first of the year when people are also giving this another thought.
I want to thank you so much for coming in, both of you. My guests have been Cynthia Carey, Director of HealthLink and Smoking Cessation Program for Upstate Medical University, and Teresa Hankin, a respiratory therapist and a smoking cessation counselor at Upstate's community campus. Great information. Let's hope people jump on the bandwagon. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air right after this short.